Hello.
Malka. It's not on yet.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're in section 26 of the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We're in Pasuk 270 and Parsha Lech Lecha. And I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudcha Berichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchilu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Le'yehuda Shalim Dukon Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah ויהי נועם אדוני אלוהינו עלינו מעשה ידינו כנני עלינו מעשה ידינו כנניהו. תחת שאחר הדברים האלה תירד אף אברהם בתר הילן מלכין וקטלון קודשה בריחו הווה אברהם תוהה אמר דילמה כתבב גרנת ההוא אגרא דהווה בנה החדר בני נשה לגבי קודשה בריחו ויחיד נא בהו וקרבה לון לגביה והשתית כתילו בני נשה על ידי מיד אמר לו קודשה בריחו אל תירא אברהם אנוכי מגן לך צעקרך הרבה לגומר אגרא קבילת עליהו והכו כלכו ליסקון לעלמין. The translation. Come and see, after these things, after Abraham pursued the kings, and the Holy One, blessed be He, killed them off. Abraham was wondering if perhaps I have lost all the reward from bringing people to repent and return to the Holy One, blessed be He, and holding on to them to draw them nearer to Him, since now people were killed by me. Immediately the Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, "Fear not, Avram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be exceedingly great. You are receiving a reward of them because they were killed, because none of them ever shall ever be able to improve their behavior." My commentary: we learn in reincarnation that the good deeds of non-righteous people causes the effect of improved reward to those who are righteous. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Hashem answered him immediately. You know, he was fearing he had not done what a righteous deed, and yet Hashem answered him right away.
That's a hint to a spiritual law, Fana. You want to guess what the law is?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said before you asked the question.
I said it's a hint to a spiritual law. Would you like to know what the spiritual law is, or do you want to guess it and then we can discuss it?
Well, you know I'd want to know. I'm trying to guess it. What my thought was, you remember a while back I told you that I had read a midrash or a commentary somewhere along the line that when Abraham and Melchizedek met, it was tense, mainly because Abraham knew he had killed off the kings, and Shem, or Melchizedek, was embarrassed because those were his kinspeople and they were not righteous. So that came back to me. But I right off, I'm not thinking of a spiritual law. So go ahead and tell me. Maybe once you say, I'll remember it if I have heard it.
Well, what you said is valid and is one of the explanations, but the spiritual law that's being hinted at, people judge themselves and people feel anxiety, but no one is supposed to feel anxiety. If you trust Hashem, if you have bitachon, and if you have certainty, there's no need to feel anxiety. Abraham was feeling anxiety. And it's important that we not cause any person to feel anxious. But in our lives, we're constantly interacting with other people, and we're letting them feel anxious, because we don't realize that they're anxious. Or even if we do realize they're anxious, we don't know how to solve their anxiousness. But the spiritual law is no one needs to feel anxious. Anxious is a form of uncertainty. You're not sure. Will you get your reward? Will you not get your reward? Will things be good for you or not? Will I have the money to pay the landlord? All of these things create anxiety. And what happens in the body when we feel anxious? Adrenaline starts to run. But adrenaline is truly a poison. It takes you out of balance. The spiritual law is to make sure that you don't cause anyone else to feel anxious.
That also relates to animals that aren't slaughtered in a kosher manner, because they too become anxious before they're killed. So I can see the relationship to what you said.
You're absolutely correct, except if if an animal is going to be slaughtered or shechted, is the Hebrew term, in a kosher manner, they don't feel anxiety. On a physical level, the way their brain is structured, when you sever the neck, the blood flows out of the brain immediately, and they lose consciousness, so they don't have time to be anxious. That's just even at the point of this, of the shechting. But if you've ever been to a Kaparot scene, for lack of a better word, where the chickens are done on the morning of Yom Kippur evening, of the Kol Nidre, the night of Kol Nidre, that morning before sunrise, we slaughter chickens as part of the Kaparot ritual. And if you've ever experienced that, people are standing in line holding their chickens by the wings, so to speak. It's really not the wings, it's the body where the wings come into the body. But the animals are not upset. They're not anxious. The birds are not anxious. They're calm because they know that this is why they were created. To be slaughtered in this manner is a form of serving man, which is a form of serving God. And so they know that is their purpose, and there is no need to be anxious. And since they're not a creature of free will, they don't feel anxious. But we all have seen pictures or heard stories about the animals who are about to be slaughtered for meat. They feel anxiety because they know that their process is not the correct one for them. They need to be slaughtered in the kosher manner, and they're not going to be. Or they're being slaughtered in the kosher manner today, which is not a 100% correct kosher manner. But this is what the Kabbalists explain and teach. It's not what the normal rabbi is being taught. But you're absolutely right. The animal should not have anxiety either. I'm sorry?
No, I just cleared my throat. That's all.
Okay.
I was thinking over time, anxiousness changes, you know. Whereas maybe in my younger days, maybe we were anxious over losing a job and having to find another one, or, you know, that kind of thing doesn't bother me now. It's seeing how your body changes as you get older. That's what I'm having to fight with anxiousness now. You know, you can't do what you could do physically. And
but you're not expected to
let it to pass victory, and also do binding by striking when the thoughts come. That's how I know how to fight it right now, anyway.
That is the way to resist being anxious.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going to be saying a chauvinistic statement, unfortunately. But I don't think it's chauvinistic, because I've heard it from a number of different people, primarily women, that the wedding night, or the night when they are first the man, they have a lot of anxiety about the potential for pain or whatever stories they've heard. And so I think that is the epitome of being anxious. At least that's my sense with, obviously I haven't had that experience. I've had the experience from the other side, from the male who has to perform. And he has anxiety about his ability to perform. you know, I can understand. I'm relating to that idea. These feelings of anxiety just are not necessary. But it's through a lack of knowledge that they come. The lack of experience. And as you're feeling anxiety about as your body ages, yes, you can't do what you used to do, but then you're not expected to do what you used to do.
Yeah, but you have to walk. Be able to walk. That's pretty everyday necessity, you know?
Actually, I disagree with you, but I know I do understand the concern you are expressing. Mm-hmm. I'm not denying that concern. But the reality, I don't walk. I have a wheelchair. For me, that's okay. It wasn't something to be concerned about. Everybody has their own path and their own issues of concern. And as, you know, if I may share our discussions that were private, just briefly, you were concerned about that, and then some technology, medical technology was introduced, and you didn't have to worry about being in a chair. And I don't know if that's changed or not, and hopefully it's
helped,
not.
It helped the pain, but it didn't help the walking. You know, so what I'm thankful about is I was told at age 55, by the time I would be 65, I'd be in a wheelchair. So I used what Jacob did with putting the striped polars before the watering trough before his animals, and they bred what he was expecting, and he left Laban with you know, a large group. And so I just never would let myself have that vision of a wheelchair. You know?
Right. And your consciousness.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Your consciousness prevails. What you expect to have happen will happen, God forbid. You have a negative image of what you expect to happen.
Well, because I didn't have any symptoms. I mean, yes, I wasn't quite as strong as everybody else, but I could still walk. And
exactly.
I'm really hanging on. I have to fight that image. And by fight, I mean I have to put it out of my head when I see it. And that's basically what I did before. It was the same thing when my daughter was so sick all those years. And
right.
I never knew. I dropped her off either at my mother's or my mother-in-law when she was so sick. And never knowing if that day I was going to get a call that I had to leave school. And I just would tell myself I didn't have the pleasure of keeping a negative thought in my head. And that's how I made it through the day. And 7 years went by, and I never was called. You know, so I've had some experiences. I know what to do. It's just a matter of, it seems the fight is harder. And I don't know if fight is the right word. It's, you know, it's just.
It's harder to put that into your bodies.
Mm-hmm.
One technique that I have advised people to use is to think of it in terms of the Ola sacrifice, the elevation sacrifice, by taking the thought and putting it in a wooden box, which you can lock, and then burn the box and watch the smoke go up to Hashem as an offering. You can do that once a day, put all your negative thoughts in.
A red box, or are you using that as a meditation?
You use it as a meditation, but I've had people who said they needed to do it with a real box, and they did. They would buy a box, a wooden box, and they would, every time they had a negative thought, they would think that that thought was going into the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Passover, when you burn the chametz, they would burn the box.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is different, and so it's always relative to the level of consciousness the person has. So there's nothing wrong with doing it that way, getting a wooden box and putting all your negative thoughts day by day into the wooden box, and then burning it with your chametz.
Well, that's a good idea, because I have a vivid imagination, even with my meditations. I have to tell you, you know, when I explained to you what I was doing with the menorah psalm, and you said I wasn't supposed to light the candle tips. And I thought about it, and I wondered, like Abraham, had I done something that, you know, really maybe made some negative impact in the universe. And then this picture of a priest standing on a ladder came into my mind, and he was, I guess, lighting the menorah. Maybe I saw the picture somewhere along the way, but anyway, that popped into my head. So in my meditation, I had the menorah in front of me, and I grabbed a ladder, and I put it up against the menorah. It was a huge menorah, and I looked inside where the cups were, and guess what? There was no oil. There was nothing. They were empty. I felt that answered my question, but it also, what I did was I filled each cup with oil. Didn't light anything, but I filled each cup with oil. And then when I moved my hand for the second verse, for the first branch, as soon as I moved my hand and said the verse, well, the flame ignited. And so that's been my meditation with the menorah psalm.
It's all good.
Okay. I was pleased with it.
So we have finished this section 26, so we'll start section 27 on Monday.
Yesterday, we had our air conditioning system went out, and we had a whole team here taking the unit upstairs as well as downstairs and out in the yard and exchanging it. So that took my day yesterday.
Understood.
So I assume you had a class, and I'll get to listen to the recording.
Actually, we didn't have a class because where nobody came. But that happens. But we will have a song class tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And we'll have a Zohar class tonight in our 7 o'clock class, along with the counting of the Omer.
Okay.
So you have a beautiful evening.
Okay, you too. I know. Appreciate that. Your boss idea. I'm going to put it to you. So.
You take care.
You too.
Thank you.